because some of us are not real supporters, others are fair weather supporters. Because he did indicate that he was no longer interested in soccer when his team was losing. And then all of a sudden they won. And then he begins to tell us, you know, blessed be. No, we need people. Hey, can I just get a chair? I just want a chair here. Oh, over there. Just a chair. Thank you. We have our brother, Mr. Graham. Mr. Graham, his wife is in palliative care. And I spoke to him yesterday. So he was gathering the family, you know, as obviously his wife, Joy, is in the final throes of life. Hey, so why don't we just raise up our voices this morning for our brother, Mr. Graham. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for our brother, Mr. Graham, and his family. Lord, we just pray a special comfort of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, Father, for Mrs. Joy and the life that she has lived, Lord God, that, Lord, she has been dedicated to you. She has loved you, that you are the Lord and Savior of her life. And I just pray, Father, for the family, Lord God, as they go through this moment, Lord God, of transition, Lord God. Be with Mr. Graham, Father. Be with the children, Lord God. Let the special comfort of your Holy Spirit be upon them at this time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Yes, so his wife is in palliative care. You know, Miss Joy, this Mr. Graham's wife, has been in a home for the last 5 years. And of course, she's been struggling with dementia, and so she doesn't remember him. But he's been a faithful man that he obviously goes and sees his wife, who doesn't recall who he is. And so now, obviously, these are the end stages, you know, of life. And so we just pray, you know, that the Lord's hand is upon that situation. So if you can, and if you've got his, just reach out to him and say, hey, we're praying for you. So he knows that as a church family, we are there to support him and his family at this time. Because obviously there's a, you know, irrespective, it's a very difficult thing, you know, to come to terms with what's actually taking place. So we trust the Lord's comfort be upon our brother and his family. Amen. With all our eyes and our attention to the Lord this morning, I just want to teach you something very quickly before I get into the flow. Here you've got a chair. There's no one sitting on it at the moment. So sometimes when we approach prayer, you have to think that the Lord is sitting on the chair, so you know who you are directing your prayers to. You're not just directing your prayers to the air and hoping somebody catches them. You are directing your prayers to a God that is attentive to what you have to say. So, Father, we just want to thank you this morning that you are a great God, that you are a covenant-keeping God. So we look to you. We look to you. Father, I thank you for your word says that, oh, yes, we thank you for what your word says, that those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord that he is my rock and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Father, we thank you that you are a great deliverer, that you deliver us from the snare of the fowler. Father, I thank you that, Lord, there is nothing else, even as the psalmist said, that we can put our trust in. Lord, we cannot put our trust in money because money will disappear. The stock market is up one day, it's down another day. So, Father, we look to you. We do not put our trust in money. We will not put our trust in horses and chariots. We will not put our trust in our intellect, though we may have it. Father, but we put our trust in you. For surely you will deliver us from the snare of the fowler. We want to thank you, Lord God, that none of us are smarter than a hunter. That the hunter will set a trap for us. But, oh God, you said that you would deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. So we call upon your name this morning that you would deliver us, your people, Lord God, from the snare of the fowler, from those things that would trap us, Lord God, from the things that have been set by the enemy, Lord God, to entrap us. Father, we pray that you are our great deliverer. For thou, our Lord, are a shield to your people, Lord God. You are our glory, the lifter of our head. You lift up your people this morning. Father, the word says that can the captive of the warrior be set free, and can the plunder of the tyrant be retrieved? You declare, Lord God, that yes, the captive can be set free and the treasure can be retrieved. I will contend with those that contend with you, and I will save their children. Father, we come before you this day and we call upon your name because you are a covenant-keeping God. We thank you that you contend with those that contend with us. We thank you, Father, you said that your enemies will be full of their own flesh and drunk with rivers of their own blood. The world will know that I am thy Lord and thy Redeemer, the mighty one of Israel. You are the great deliverer. Deliver your people, we pray, in the mighty name of your Son Jesus. There is no one like you, Lord God. There is no one that delivers like you. No one delivers like you. So, Father, I pray those things that come against your people, Lord God, that deliverance is theirs in the mighty name of Jesus. I will say of the Lord, he is my rock and my fortress, the one in whom I trust. For he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Father, the things that have been fashioned against your people, we come against those in Jesus' mighty name. And we declare that no weapon formed against your people shall prosper. And every tongue that is risen up against them or that rises up against them, Father, we condemn it in Jesus' mighty name. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord. So we call upon your name, for you are the great deliverer. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, those that are addicted, Father, to drugs, that they would be set free in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that are addicted, Lord God, to gossiping, Father, would be set free in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that are addicted to pornography would be set free in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, Father, anything that would addict your people, Father, Lord, let them be set free in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare deliverance in Jesus' mighty name. Hey, can I pray for your families? Can I pray this morning that the Lord would restore relationships in families? The Lord is thy great deliverer. In fact, the scriptures say that there is no one, we have not seen any other God who does what he does. May relationships in families be restored in Jesus' mighty name, I declare this morning. Father, we thank you that you are a restorer of relationships. Oh my goodness. Father, we thank you that you have chosen the institution of family, though it is imperfect. Father, I pray a special grace over your people this morning, that Father, where mother and child do not speak, Lord God, that Lord God, communication would be restored in Jesus' mighty name. We trust you that Father, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by your Spirit, that Lord, it is not us forcing things to happen. Father, I pray for a special grace for restoration of relationships and families. Father, I give you all the praise and all the glory. Oh, yes. For there is no one like the Lord. There is no one that delivers like our God. Hey, you know what Moses said to Pharaoh? When Pharaoh said that, take the frogs away tomorrow. And then he says, just as you have said, it shall be done, and you will know that there is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you. So Father, I give you praise and I give you glory over your people this morning. There is no one like you. There is a special grace for deliverance this morning. Father, I pray for those that are addicted to anxiety, Lord God, and that are addicted to fear, that hold on to fear. Oh God, we come against the spirit of intimidation against your people this morning. Lord, we come against anxiety, the spirit of anxiety, in the mighty name of Jesus. May your people be delivered from it in Jesus' mighty name. That is not their portion, in the mighty name of Jesus. Rita sikoromo shiarababasike. Rite kise kiromo shindarabasike. Riti sikoromo shiarababasike. Jesus, we look to you and to no one else. I will say of the Lord, he is my rock and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. We promise you, Lord God, that we will not put our faith. He alone is my God. We will declare that you are alone our God. We declare that this morning. For thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are our glory and the lifter of our heads. We thank you. Rita kibo musikara bashite kisorobushia. Ride kesire meshikorobusiara babashinde. Come on, let's just engage with the Lord. Let's give it a bit more juice. I really sense this thing, strong thing, restoration of relationships in families. Father, we thank you. You are a restorer. You are restore. Restore, Lord God. Restore like only you can do. It is not by might. It is not by power. But it is by your spirit. To the Lamb. Oh my goodness. To the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. We look to you, O Jesus. You are the one that is seated on the throne. To the Lamb. To the Lamb. Oh my goodness. To the Lamb. To the Lamb. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people. May you restore, Lord God, as my heart feels this morning, that you would restore relationships. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Rita ki bomoro ki serebe ki tarabashinde. Mi radoko bosi kerebe shiarababakise. Mi te ki robokusa kirebe kinda. Usha si terebe ki serebe beshinda ramasike. Ratiboko soro mushinda ramakise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To the Lamb. Yes. Mrs. Agricola, I want you to catch this, that as you go back, that the Lord is a restorer of relationships. The Lord is the restorer of relationships. May the confession of your mouth be that the Lord is my deliverer, the one in whom I trust. Rita sikorobushinda rabasikerebisi. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and we give you glory. And everyone says, amen. Thank you very much. All right, Lord, you can get off the stage. This morning, we're just going to bring some encouragement, and it's good to see all of you in Jesus' mighty name. Hey, the Lord is for you. The Lord is for you. I'm going to hear testimonies coming out of this place of the Lord that restores relationships and families. Please, when the Lord begins to do stuff in your family, please come and let us know so that we can all celebrate with you. Who? You want to say something? No. Of course you can.
I just really felt just during the prayer, these words, I don't know who they're for, but I really just wanted to share and pray into it. I just heard the answer to your challenge, someone here, the answer to your struggle is that you are like a dog with a bone and that you need to let go of that. There's a stubbornness and there's that that need to hold on to things like a dog with a bone. And as you release that, the Lord will start to release what He needs to release in your life. So, Father, I just thank you, Father, whoever this word is for, about being like a dog with a bone, Father, pray that you would allow them to just let go. Allow them to just release, Father, because the answer for them lies on the other side of their obedience. The answer lies on the other side of letting go and letting you do what you need to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yes. This morning I think that I'm going to bring some encouragement and receive it as such. It's a very strong encouragement. One of the things that we, not as a necessarily a philosophy, but one of the things that we strongly believe in is that you and I have been called to produce results. That there is an expectation that there will be a return on the investment of the cross. So the man brought his son to the disciples and he said, "Donovan, can you heal my son from this demon that possesses him? He convulses, he does all these things. Can you heal my son?" And Donovan, unfortunately, could not do it. And so the Lord Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And there was obviously a mess. And then the father went to the Lord and said, "I brought my son to you." In fact, it's very interesting that he said, "I brought my son to your disciples." He didn't just say to the disciples, he says to your disciples. "And I asked them to heal him and they could not do it. Then the Lord said, 'You faithless generation, how long shall I contend with you?' And then the Lord went to do what? And healed the boy from that the affliction that he had. What I like about the disciples is that they didn't just go away in defeat. They asked the Lord, "Lord, why is it that we couldn't cast this demon out?" Telling me that there were other demons that they could not cast out. But they said, why is it this one? And the Lord goes on to explain that this one comes out only through prayer and what? And fasting. Hey, can I say this very gently? The Lord expects results from you and I. None of us are exempt from a requirement of a return on investment. This is why when he gave the talents, he gave the 5 to 1, he gave the 2 to 1, and he gave the 1 to the other. The 5 immediately, the guy who was given 5, it actually says he immediately went to work and did something and he brought back 5. The one who was given 2 went and did the same and gave back what? 2. Then the one who had been given 1 sort of like says, "You know what? This guy is a very difficult guy. Can't be bothered." And he dug his stuff in the ground and didn't do anything. Then the master comes back and says, "So everybody give an account of what you have done." The guy with the 5 came and said, "Look, Lord, I did such and such. Here's 5 more." The other one said, "Such and such. Here's 2 more." Irrespective of what it is, there are some who've been given 5, some who've been given 2. They all brought back how much? 100%. Except the guy with the 1. This is why we need to understand what the Lord Jesus was saying. He then said, "Why didn't you take it to the what? The bankers. They would have given you interest." Telling me that there is an expectation of a return on the investment of the cross in your life. This is for all of us. If all I did was withdraw from my bank account every day and there are no deposits that are being made, sure enough, the money is going to what? It's going to run out. The point I'm making, my brothers and sisters, very gently is this. If we exist for ourselves, sooner rather than later, this will all die if this is a club. But there is an expectation that the Lord has for our lives, for you and I. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 38, it says, "And Jesus went throughout all this. Please put your hands together for my sister. Thank you. Oh no, in church we are equal, eh? But as soon as we leave here, authority restored. Yeah, because we're all ministering to the Lord. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray, earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So we are praying to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into what? His harvest. The mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came teaching, forming the truth and understanding, proclaiming, announcing the gospel of the kingdom, and healing, restoring dignity. Now, I want you to understand that this healing bit is very important. And the reason why it's important is that back in those days, if you were sick with some terminal affliction, oh, you're out. You're ostracized from your family. So when it says that he came healing them of their disease and their affliction, he was restoring dignity and wholeness into their life. So the healing bit is very important. So as it says there, Jesus' mission, well, it doesn't say it there, is the disciples' mission to teach, proclaim, and heal. Now, teaching them is Matthew chapter 6, when he starts telling them that, you know, all the things he was teaching them, how to behave and how to act in the kingdom of God, and then announcing the gospel of the kingdom, the plan of God has arrived. And then, of course, he takes it a step further, healing people of their disease and their affliction and restoring wholeness and life to them. This was a requirement that they would do this all the time. This is going to make sense because in Ezekiel 34, he says, "I will make," this is God saying, "I will make a covenant. I will make with them a covenant of peace. I will send down the showers in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God, and you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God." This is the prophetic backdrop to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, when God said, "I will," these are promises fulfilled in who? In Jesus Christ. There was an expectation that the Lord had over shepherds, that they would act in a certain way, that the shepherds would feed the sheep. But in Ezekiel chapter 34, they were not doing that. They were feeding themselves instead of the sheep. Instead of looking after them and protecting them, they were neglecting them. They neglected the weak, the sick, the injured, and the strayed. And they allowed the flock to scatter, which was contrary to the way the Lord had wanted them to act, to protect, to feed, and to nourish the sheep. The leaders were not doing that. But then God's answer is that, "I will search, I will rescue, I will strengthen. I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David." And Jesus is the fulfillment as the Davidic Messiah, the shepherd servant of the covenant of peace. So this is when we see in Matthew chapter 9, 35, when he said that Jesus went about in all the cities and the villages, teaching, proclaiming, and doing what? Healing. This is what is being fulfilled. So there was a mandate that all of a sudden, what the shepherds could not do, Jesus was the one that was now doing it. In Matthew chapter 28, it says, "And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So on the basis of that, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So can you see that the blueprint that Christ is giving us is the exact thing that God had promised that the shepherd was going to do? So what we do with our discipleship, we take it a step further. We are going to teach, we are going to proclaim, and we are going to heal. This is in every sphere of our lives, in family, at work, at school, at university, wherever we go, we are taking this mandate that the Lord had given to us. As we read that scripture in Matthew chapter 9, we begin to understand the Lord said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He does not say the people are the problem, the harvest is too small, we need a better strategy. Because his diagnosis is never the field. The diagnosis that the Lord is giving us is that the problem that I have is that there isn't enough what? Laborers. So when it comes to harvest time, now I'm not a farmer. I do not have a green thumb or anything like that. But what we do know, the farmer, when it comes to harvest, has two problems. Problem number one, when it comes to harvest time, they have two problems. The first problem is that they might have more workers than they have work available. That's a problem. Then the second problem is that there is more work than workers available. We have to understand what the Lord Jesus is saying to us, that in farming, the harvest season creates urgency because crops are ripe for a specific time. They have a short window in which we need to harvest the crops. Otherwise, they're going to do what? Spoil. If there are not enough workers to gather the harvest quickly, the produce is going to be what? Lost. This is the thing, the picture that Jesus is painting. That perhaps when we start looking at our colleagues, we start looking at the people out there, we will recognize that actually what he is saying is that these people are willing and ready to receive the gospel. The problem is that maybe we are not looking at it like that. We are saying, you know what, let them indulge in their sin. Yeah, let them. Because we see people sinning and doing all that stuff, being anti-God, and we think, yay, leave them. Leave them. But the Lord is saying, even if you see that, understand that even though you might see them harassed and helpless, what it suggests the Lord is saying to us is that these are people that are willing. There is a willingness, because the words that were used was that the harvest is ripe, telling us that there is a willingness of people to hear the word. The only problem is that there is no one to do what? To tell them. The people are ready. The harvest is plentiful. So there has to be an urgency. Otherwise, the gathering, the opportunity is going to do what? Is going to pass away. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you and I. The urgency is that someone must go and tell them. In Romans 10:14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? People cannot respond to a message they have never heard. They cannot respond to a message they have never heard. The people are willing to hear. The question is, maybe we might have to change the way that we view their harvest, to say, leave them in their sin. They're too busy sinning. And actually recognize when we look at the people that, wow, they are in need of a what? A shepherd. Now, it can be overwhelming, because when we look at our church, we see so many gaps, so many seats that are empty, and we think, oh, there's too many people in the city of Kwinana. We are only 50 in here. There's thousands more out there. You have to understand this. Jesus, when he saw the crowds, it said he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Generally, when you start to see, for those, I guess, that have a farming background, sheep need direction. Otherwise, they go all over the place. And this is the viewpoint that the Lord has had, is that people are going around in their own business of life with their own things. But the real issue is that, hey, they are in need of a what? Of a shepherd. They're weary. The Pharisees had put a lot of burdens on people. And so when he saw them, oh my goodness, he had great pity. This wasn't just like, oh yeah, I feel sorry for them. This was a visceral, deep, deep gut level compassion that he had. And I wonder, do we really see people? Because the issue is that sometimes when we see people, it's quite, keep on sinning, keep going to the pub, keep drinking, keep carrying on, all that. And so we can become, I'm not saying we are, it is easy to become dismissive of them because they're caught up in their own sin, but actually not realizing that, no, people are willing. They just need to hear a message. Do you see people, your friends, your family, your co-workers, the community that you live in? So we must have this deep gut level desire that other people would experience the life transforming power of Jesus Christ. May I suggest that maybe the reason why we are not so quick to say is because we ourselves are not experiencing that life transforming power of Christ. We might have experienced it once, and that was back then. And so now we're just like, yeah, we're a bit blasé, because there's a freshness that is out of our lives. This gut level compassion that the Lord had, may I suggest that perhaps, you know, we don't have it anymore. Sheep without a shepherd is Old Testament shorthand for leadership failure. Jesus came and did what the shepherds in Ezekiel 34 did not do. And he commissions you and I to do the same. The one thing that the Lord, and it can become very overwhelming that, oh my goodness, how are we going to reach? It's just me. I think before we rush out and do stuff, because it's overwhelming, the people that need to be reached, the Lord Jesus tells us, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The order of what we do is critical. Not strategy first. Let's devise the 5-point plan of growing our church, or let's design 7-8 programs on how to get over such and such. But he's saying, pray first, petition him first. Not, we're not just going to act blindly, but he's saying alignment, seek alignment with him first. So before we plan, let's pray. Before we send, let's submit to the Lord this morning. You know, one of the key things that to be disciples that participate in what God is doing, it requires 3 attributes. Number 1, a response to the will of God. Our priorities and convictions should be anchored in wholehearted commitment to the will of God. That is what our desire is. We should be declaring God's plan. That is our desire, to be declaring God's plan. That when he saw the crowd, he healed them. And guess what that would do? If you are healed, it would bring great joy. This is what the shepherd does. This is what Jesus did, was restoring dignity and wholeness in people's lives. And number 3, there is a posture of subordination to God, which means that we are bowing under God's ultimate authority. The Lord of the harvest is God. There is no leadership, no discipleship, no fruitfulness apart from his authority. We need to have a prayer, a posture of subordination. You know, Romans 12:1 says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. let them be a living and holy sacrifice. We understand that in the Old Testament, they would bring a goat. So they would go and select a goat without blemish. They would get Billy the goat and say, all right, Billy, you're going to die on behalf of me and my family. Then they would put their hands on Billy and boom, Billy would die. Basically saying, whatever sins we have, we are going to impute them on, it's all on Billy. And so once Billy dies and the blood is sprinkled, we are all what? We're good with the Lord for another year. Yay. Billy, they left Susan the goat there. Now, oh, Susan's not here. That's good. All right. Anyway, I'm just throwing out names here so that you can get the idea. So I didn't mean that Susan is a goat. So they selected. Billy did not have a choice. He was just picked. You and I have a choice. We present ourselves because we are both the priest and the sacrifice. And so sometimes what happens is that to present ourselves, to ask to pray to the Lord to send laborers, is to present ourselves first to Him. Because once we present ourselves to Him, we give of ourselves first to Him and then say, Lord, send me. And sometimes in that prayer of saying, we're praying for laborers, we're saying, send me. Because what happened is that at the end of Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, after he had said what he said, he immediately says to the disciples, and he called to him in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, his 12 disciples, and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. These are the things that the Lord did. And he was saying, now I expect you to do what? To do the same. The call of Jesus is not for us to admire the harvest. It is to enter the field. And I wonder, hit me with No One Like the Lord. Just on the keys. I want us all, as we finish, there is an expectation of results on our part. And that's not meant to put pressure. But it's to actually realize that all of us want to hear the words, good and faithful servant. Because we have been what? We have been faithful with what God has given us. That's why he says, freely you have been what? You have received. So therefore, freely what? Give. And I wanted the challenge for us this week. The challenge that I have for all of us is that before we do anything, is to pray and say, God, can I please have a heart of compassion like Jesus did? Can I have this deep gut level, visceral feeling that the Lord did, is that when I look at the people, I'm not going to see them the same. I'm going to see them the way that you see them. When I look at my co-workers that are carrying on and they're swearing and they're going back and forth, I'm not going to dismiss them and say, you heathens. But I'm going to have this gut level compassion for them. The challenge this week is to pray. The challenge then, the next challenge is to pray for workers. Then after you've done that, the challenge, you're saying, your prayer is that, hey Lord, I pray that you would send me out. And my prayer is that all of us are sent to our families, to our friends, to our work, and our community. Can I tell you this, that my life is very small. On most days, I wake up in the morning, 7-ish or whatever time I wake up, 6 sometimes, and then I take 45 minutes to get dressed. I'm listening to music, I'm looking at myself in the mirror, making sure that I'm all dolled up. before I go out. And then I go to a cafe, you know, corner called Pound Coffee Roasters. And normally there I read my Bible, carry on, or read a book. And then I go to church on a Monday. That's what happens on a Monday. Then I go to church. We have our church meeting. After that, if I don't meet with people, bang, the next thing I go back to our house in Canningvale. Then the next morning, I repeat and I do the same thing. And then sometimes I might go and work in the city. And I run a little business. So I'll go and work in the city. I'll go to the company director's lounge, work there, work somewhere else. And guess what I do? I go back to Canningvale. My life. I don't go to the northern suburbs of Perth. If I have to go there, I'm super annoyed that I got to travel all that way. So sometimes, you know, C3 requests that we go to C3 in Hepburn Heights, and it's so far away, and I'm like, oh, I got to drive 45 minutes, you know. But anyway, I go. The point I'm making is this. You are sent to your family first. Then you are sent to your friends. Can you sort of like see how the network, the ring, starts off with your family? Then it goes to your friend. That's another ring. Then it goes to your work. That's another ring, because that's where you frequent most of the time. Then you go to your community. These are the worlds that we've been called to influence. These are the worlds that we're going to be asking the Lord to pray for, that He would give us a deep gut level compassion for people. I'm not suggesting that your lives are small. What I am suggesting is that our sphere of how we operate is very small. But God is calling us to that. This is where the Lord is calling you to your family. He's calling you to your friends, because that's your circle, to your work, and then of course your community. Father, I thank you this morning that you are the Lord of the harvest. And we come to you this morning because you are the Lord of the harvest. Father, we pray for a compassion like Jesus felt. May we have compassion on people like never before. And Lord, as we present ourselves before you, may you send us to our family. May you send us to our friends. May you send us to our work colleagues. And may you send us to our community. There is no one like you, Lord God. You expect results from us, your people. And Lord, we will give you results. We commit this day, Lord God. We commit to your ways. Lord, open up our eyes that we might see the harvest differently. Just invite you to stand this morning. I just want to give an opportunity, as we do every week, for those that have never made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and for Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. If you just pray after me, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, the Great Shepherd. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins and I make a decision to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. If that is you this morning, raise up your hand so I can see. Thank you. Someone will give something for my sister there. Father, I thank you for my sister. Bless her, Lord God, as she makes the choice, Lord God, to follow you. Jesus, we give you all the praise and all the glory. I just thank you for these people, Lord God, everyone in this place. You have chosen them. You have chosen them. May they walk in the strength. May they walk in the strength, Lord God. May they walk in your strength. May they know, Lord God, that they do not walk by themselves. They do not go by themselves, but they go in the authority and in the power of Jesus. Lord God, that they would be able to declare with all boldness and courage that silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Father, wherever they place them, in their families, Lord God, with their friends, amongst their friends, with their work colleagues, in their community, Lord, may they go. May they see the harvest like never before. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, God bless you, church. Have a wonderful week.